हरिः
ॐ सहनावावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 8, Sri Govinda Bhashya. In the mantra section of the same Upanishad, it is said, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Brahman is an infinite existence and knowledge. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.13. The Brahmana of this text is glorified as Anandamaya. The Brahman of this text is glorified as Anandamaya later. It is thus not the Jiva. Meaning is this. The section begins with Brahmavid Atnoti Param. The knower of Brahman attains the Supreme. The worshipping Jiva attains the Brahman. Brahman is then described with the words Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Here also the phrase Ananda Maya can be applied to Brahman because following this section is the section describing the various Purushas ending with the Anandamaya Purusha. That Brahman to be achieved by the Jiva is different from the Jiva who attains him. Thus the Anandamaya Purusha is not a Jiva. Right? So the point is we never become the Anandamaya Purusha. Right? That's the idea, is that they want to become the Anandamaya Purusha because they want to be Anandamaya. They want to be happy. Right? But the point is no, it's Brahman. Otherwise, how do you get to that platform of Anandamaya unless there's someone beyond it who awards it? Because if it's a matter of, no, you become it, but the point is how do you become something that you, means, if you're not that, how do you become that? Right? Of course, it's all illusion, law of that, but if that's true, then why there's even any endeavor discussion at all? Because it doesn't exist. There is, it's illusion that if you think that you're separate, so that means why are we even talking about it? Why would there be sadhana? Why would there be all these things of value? Why would there be commentaries? Because it's all illusion anyway. So what's the point? Yes?
So this is the misuse of our independence, that to think that we will achieve not just the anandamaya state, but actually the position that generates anandamaya.
Yes. Yes, yes. That's the point. They see a non-difference with God, but they don't see that God is also different. So that's the problem. I mean, it's a position that there's a non-difference with God. That's there, but it's qualitatively, not quantitatively. But their focus on Brahman is always quantitative, unlimited knowledge, unlimited, like this. So that's the point. Bhagavatam verse. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-15. Satyam Jnanam Anandam Yad Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is freed from the modes of material nature. Because if the modes are there, you can't see transcendence. As the modes are not there, then you can see. So when we focus on our Krishna consciousness, we chant, we take part in the program, and we're focused on that, then we're beyond the modes. Therefore, we can see. But then, if we get distracted by something else, then again, we don't see. Yes?
So it says here in this verse that the sages can see it in trance.
Yes.
Free from the modes of material nature.
Yes.
So, unless you're in trance, then it sounds like you're dropping in and out of Brahman, because when you're in trance, you can see it, but when, what about when you're walking around and just eating? And
no, the point is, but are you in trance or not? That's the point. If you're in trance, then you see. Like the gopis, doesn't matter what household duties they do, they're seeing Krishna, they're in trance. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Just that, in other words, if you're focusing on the Lord, your attention's on the Lord, you're Krishna conscious, then you see. Like that, but it's just that
thinking trance means sitting like on a
no, but that's what we'll take as the, but the point is trance actually means that the mind is focused.
Okay.
Like that, whether you're doing it in particular yogasana or this or that, that's another thing, but trance just means that you're fixed on the Lord. So when means when Krishna and the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada are talking about being fixed in devotional service, that's trance. Like that. Yeah. Like that.
So we can be fixed in general, but as you mentioned, that the residents of Vrindavan, they are generally fixed and then they have specific relationships.
Yes, yes.
So on our level, what should we...
We're working for the general trance. Okay. Like that. Because the point is it's a matter of full surrender. Then within full surrender, then it's a matter of it's specific then, like that. So it goes that way, not the other way. Like means sahajiyas, they'll do it backwards. They'll say, "No, this is the thing," and they'll try to meditate on that. But the point is they haven't gotten the mood yet of surrender. So you have to, the general mood of Braj, or the general mood of Vaikuntha, or Dwarka, whatever is that with the focus, that's the first thing. Then there's the specific of within that, then what is the interest. So that's why we say we meditate upon those who are in that position. Like that, because they have the position. We can develop that general mood of surrender, and that's not sahajya. But if not having that, we try to taste or contemplate the specifics of that surrender connected with us, that's sahajya. That makes the difference. So if you're seeing that, okay, the mother Yashoda, she's feeding Krishna, you know, and I'm trying to develop that surrender of Braja Bhakti, and I see she's doing that, that's the tradition. That's what's recommended. But if I'm not worrying about that, I'm thinking, okay, now I'm feeding Krishna, now I'm doing this, that's sahajya. Because the point is we're not the ones doing it, they're doing it, we assist. You know, it's always going to be like that. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Can we think about, like, giving the bowl of prasadam to another devotee who gives it to Mother
Yashoda? But the point is how are you there? You ever have you ever had a situation just like this? Have you ever had a situation where you had some particular friends that you were with and it was a good mood, then someone showed up that didn't actually have the mood and it kind of ruins it?
Yeah.
That's us handing the bowl to someone else.
Okay.
It means, in other words, you don't crash the party. You're invited to the party. So that's why you meditate on them handing the bowl to someone else.
Okay.
Right? In other words, what Shastra mentions as these are the services that are being done, we're meditating upon them doing it. Like Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book. It tells all the different services that are there. Bhagavatam then, you know, I mean, if you go through the Bhagavatam, it's a little more details. The Nectar of Devotion gives some other aspects and like this. Then you meditate upon those devotees doing it, then that has meaning. Because then you're following the footsteps. But if you're the one there handing the ball, that's imitation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, it's a very fine point, but extremely important. This not being understood makes one a sahajya, and this not being understood makes people go against our own tradition of Raganuga Bhakti. You know, now you say Raganuga, it's like, oh, you know, it's like you said genocide or Holocaust or something, you know. You know, it's like that. But the point is it's not that is the position, but the point is who's thinking like that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that we're trying to absorb ourselves, just accept that the order of the spiritual master, or, you know, as who was pointed out? Who pointed that out? I think it's Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj points out to Sukadeva Goswami. He says that it's not a matter of intelligence. So we study all these aspects of that we would generally call, jnana yoga. Yeah. You know, it's all the different things, how the Lord's in everything and pervading everything and his potencies and all that. Mm-hmm. But he makes the point, it's not about being super intelligent. Because the process is just super souls entered everything. All the atoms, all the forms, all the activities. So in other words, the existence of the thing, the qualities of the thing, the ability of the thing to perform an action, the ability of that action to produce a result, and that there's an experience of that result. That's all Krishna. That's not rocket science. So that means anybody can do that. You understand? And so he mentions that this is how you control the senses. This is how you control the mind. Because if it's Krishna, then it's different than if it's not Krishna. Yeah.
The reason why I asked was because there's a devotee that was meditating on serving Krishna and he burnt himself on the sweet rice and all that. So
yes, that but what was he doing in that? What was that? What was that form he was meditating on?
Is it because it was the deity?
Yes.
Okay.
That then that's where you do the dhyana.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that because the deity? So the deity is that, because that is your service. You are doing that, assisting the spiritual master.
Okay.
But to project that into the past times, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because we're not in the past times. We're here.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's the thing. But if meditating like that in deity worship, that means you have to know all the deity worship, go through. And so in other words, all the different 16 items, then how would you like to see them if you could?
Yeah.
Right? Because as it is now, the Lord's sitting there on a little, you know, something there, and you have an Achman cup and a bowl and, you know, something else to pour water. But, you know, you have these nice gold, this, that, so many different things, amazing offerings, amazing this, that. You know, so like that. That's what the Manasa Puja is for.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do. But just don't project yourself into the past times. Otherwise, you're the one that, then they all sit over. Who invited them? You know, I don't know. like that, you know. It's one of those, you know, at the party. So that's exactly the whole point. Because people say, you know, I meditate so good and I'm really absorbed, and then they go into this, and they put themselves in the pastime, and it all disappears. And they ask, why does that happen? Because you're not supposed to be there. That's why. You know, difference is we'll come, they'll leave. You know.
I was also thinking of that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying that he's making the garland, like your hand the garland, but that's because he is in the...
Yes, but the point is which song is that? You understand? It's a run of songs.
Yeah.
There's always, you know, 4, 5, 6 songs in a group. Which one in the group is that? Is it number one?
No.
Yes, so that's the point. You figure out within that run of prayers where you are. And focus on that. But you know that that's where it's going to go. You know that's the goal, but that's not where we're at.
Yeah.
You understand? So the point is Raghunuga Bhakti is something that could be thought about in a mature way. This idea is you can't talk about it, or that's all you talk about it. Both of these are wrong. I mean, just wrong. Right? The point is that it's something that is part of our tradition, but the point is who does that unless they're absorbed? You know what I'm saying? You sit down and you want to think about it, and how long does that last before there's, you know, one of those, you know, on your phone goes, dee 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 dee└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└Martha's doing that? Okay, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's it. So that's the whole point is who's doing it? And if someone's doing it, fine. But it has to be according to how the acharyas say. Right? So what was the problem before? We had in the 70s when Prabhupada was here, you had the Gopi Baba Club. Right? What was the problem? That was my phone or your phone?
Yes. It was my Gaga tweet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but that wasn't a tweet, so no, it's not her. Where is the phone? I lost my phone that once that way.
Wow.
I went to put it in there, but I put it instead of it and got out of the car, and then it wasn't there. So, yeah. So, theirs, then they're just sitting around listening to the stories of the gopis. But the point is what about the rest of the Krishna book?
Yeah.
No, but they'll only focus on that because this is like this. So that's Sahajya. The point is if you look at those, the Panchadhyaya, most of the prayers of the gopis are about his position as the Supreme Lord, or even talking about other pastimes, not within Braj Leela, you know, Ram Leela and this and that. When in Brahmar Gita, the what do you call it? You know, when Radharani's talking to the bumblebee, when Uddhava comes to give the message, so she doesn't directly talk to him, she talks to the bumblebee and then chastises, you know, Krishna and Uddhava, you know, by that method. And so then when she's doing that, she's talking about how he doesn't know how to deal with women because, as Ramachandra, he didn't deal properly with Suparnika. So they don't see a difference. That's the thing. They don't see the difference between the upper Goloka and lower Goloka. They don't see the difference between the different pastimes. To them, it's all Krishna. That's the gopis. That's why they're on the highest. But this thing is, oh, we'll only listen to gopis' pastimes and no one else. It gives no taste and this and that and, you know, all that. And
that.
Yeah. So that's, there's something wrong there. Understand? That's why Prabhupada's talking. Devotees think, oh, it's Raganuga that he's, no, but his it's, he always refers to that. But it's a stage you come to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, six-year-olds aren't reading GQ magazine. You know what I'm saying? You know, and the girls aren't reading Cosmos. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they come to a particular age, then they read those things. It's just natural. So the point is when it comes, that it happens. But it's not that you force it. You have to make a club. You have to get together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, it just, it's reality.
Maybe they saw it as a form of sadhana.
But the point is sadhana in this case then means you have to read these pastimes. They have to get together. They have to do all that. And so when you have to do it, then what level of sadhana is it?
Vaidhi.
Vaidhi, yeah. So that's the fun.
Yeah.
I have yet to see anybody who's talking about in this way about it, that they're thinking they're talking Raganuga, but they're always talking Vaidhi because they don't know the definition. You know, their idea, Raganuga means I'm listening to pastimes about the gopis. That's Raganuga. No, Rag means this natural spontaneous attraction. That means you like to go to Mangalartik. You're not going because you have to or because of the benefits you'll get. But generally those individuals who are into this so-called rag, they won't accept that as a definition. No, it has to be about the gopis, otherwise it's not rag. You understand? So it's just Vaidhi. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so then here, sages that see the spiritual existence in trance, when their consciousness is freed from the modes of material nature. Footnote 7. Here, out of his causeless mercy, Krishna reveals to Nanda and the cowherd men his abode in the spiritual sky, which is situated within the Brahma Jyoti, described as Satyam Jnanam Anantam, unlimited, conscious, eternal. Right? So that's the thing is that we see Krishna reveals all these things to the Brajabasis. The same thing he reveals to others. But what happens when he reveals something like this in Dwarka or Vaikuntha? Yeah, they're all there, folded hands, my dear Lord, this, that, you know, and listen, and you go on and on and on. They just go, wow, cool, you know, and then move on. That's the fun, you know. So it's a matter you can see the comparison, just like in the first chapter of Gita. You see what is the mood of Duryodhana and what's the mood of Arjuna? Right? The one is like, what's my duty and about others? And Duryodhana is how to use duty for myself. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not even so much duty. He quotes duty, but it's actually niti. So he's functioning on the platform of niti. Well, then Arjuna's functioning on a level of selfless duty. But it's not spiritual. So then you see where they're starting from. So one's the divine, one's the demoniac. Then from there, it's taken in the second chapter to spiritual. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses the bewildering relationship between the unlimited Brahma Jyoti and the localized form of the Lord. The form of Bhagavan Sri Krishna is much sweeter than the impersonal Brahman, effulgence. This is confirmed by the realization of Atmaramas such as Sukadev Goswami. Though the form of Bhagavan is also all-pervading, he appeared localized in a form of medium-sized, human-like. Though Bhagavan Sri Krishna is free from the six transformations of material nature, he seems to undergo birth, growth, and so on. Bhagavan is free from the six material disturbances of hunger, thirst, and so on, yet he seems to undergo hunger and thirst, perspire and become tired, express fear and bewilderment, and receive blows in battle. This is because he has unlimited, inconceivable energies. Because generally you see is that there's a battle, someone hits him, it actually hits him. But I think there's another example. I'm not sure if it's Balaram or someone. Someone tries to hit him and it doesn't hit him. It can't, because he's unlimited. Just like you can't tie up Krishna. Mother Yashoda is trying. You can't do that. How do you put a rope around unlimited? Right? But he for his pastimes, he undergoes as it does. Mm-hmm. You know. So sometimes you see it hits him, and then you know there's blood or this or that. And I think it's Balvala, like that. It's one big demon. Anyone remembers Balvala?
Yeah,
Balvala. Okay. So then Balvala hits him with the Balaram of the club, and it doesn't do anything. He just stands there. It's as if he hadn't even hit him. So he's not even bothering to take part in interacting with this guy. Right? Because he's just harassing the sages, and he's come to establish Dharma, so it's not about this, it's just you're a nonsense, and so then he dies. You know, so you know, it's the other ones, he stretches it out. So you don't think he's a very big demon, because Balaram just takes his plow, catches him, and hits him on the head, he's dead. You know, so the whole thing takes a few seconds. But, you know, in other pastimes where they stretch it out and all that, make it into a big thing, then you think, oh, okay, you know, this is formidable. So it's for us that they do that. But here it was that he's just killing the demon to please the sages. So no need of spending time. They're not there to, you know, cheer him on and, yeah, go, you know, like that. So he just goes out there, the demon comes, catches him, kills him, finished. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. He's beyond, but he appears to. That's what's bewildering about the localized aspect. Yes?
Maharaj, why would they compare Bhagavan and Brahman? Because even though they're the same person as such, but they're a completely different category.
Because many are either bewildered by what is Brahman, what's the, you know, or they're attracted to Brahman, or they don't know, just like he's saying the localized form. So generally we use the term localized to refer to Paramatma.
Yes.
Because Paramatma is Bhagavan, but we only see him as one who sits in everyone's heart, who is expanded, who's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, who's the judge, who's the witness. So we're only seeing that aspect of him. So that makes him Paramatma, not Bhagavan. You understand? Because Bhagavan means his personality, his interests, his interaction with devotees, that's the... Does that make sense? Yeah. So just the difference between the form and the formless, so that people can tell the difference. Because he is unlimited, but he has a form. You know, and we say the Brahman is just Brahman, but this whole material phenomena has come from it. It's all grown from Brahman, so that there's all the variety and shapes and everything going on here. That's based on Brahman. So it becomes a little bewildering because you think Brahman's just nothing, and so nothing can come from it. But that's not real Brahman. That's the Mayavadis and the Buddhist concept of it. You know, so it's unreal. So they think the material world's unreal because their whole philosophy, their concept of Brahman is unreal. So they can't tell. If they understand Brahman actually, they can understand the world. So if Brahman is seen as Parabrahman or as Saguna Brahman, then you can see the qualities of the world, where they've come from. Does that make sense? So there's a mix in understanding. Just like, okay, let us take it in your standard Abrahamic kind of, you know, form of religion, okay? Is God a person?
Yes.
Yes, he's a person. What does he look like? What's his form? He doesn't have one. You understand? So that's the thing, is that they'll go between Brahman and having a form, or Paramatma. They never really get to Bhagavan because he doesn't do a whole lot. The beginning, you see, is that they would talk a little bit more and interact and all that, but I forget up to who was like that. Maybe up to Moses. I think after that, then... Yeah, then the whole thing of the covenant and sitting there and talking to God and all that and the smoke coming out, then it didn't happen
Jacob
so much.
Jacob wrestled with...
Jacob. But they were all before Moses. That's what we're saying. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they're all before Moses. So once they leave the desert, I mean, Egypt, going to the desert and then come back into Canaan, then there's, you don't hear about them. They go and they pray, but it's not like they sit there and talk and have a whole conversation like they used to before.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So the whole thing is, it's, you know, it just goes, that's the thing. So he's person, but he doesn't have a form. You know, so that's the problem. You know, so that's why it's then brought out, because it's not clear. Because from karma, there must be form and that, because there's results and all that. But from jnana, then there's no form. So because we're, he could say, steeped in karma and jnana, therefore, then this is where the bewilderment will come in. You know, we accept. But then when we get down to detail, then sometimes it don't, just like we're saying. Everything's coming from Brahman. How is that? Because the Brahman has qualities. And these qualities are dynamic. Means Brahman is the effulgence of his qualities. That means all the dynamics of his qualities is in Brahman. But they're generic. So from that you get generic things. But you can have a personal interaction with the generic things. That's the next level. Does that make sense? So, therefore, through anything, you can see him and remember him as a person. Is that, you know, that's the thing. It's actually that it's, as Prikumar says, it's actually that simple. It doesn't take big intelligence. It's generally thought, oh no, if we're going to do this gyan stuff, you have to be really intelligent. No, you just have to be purified. That's all. Like that. Yes.
What you said before just confused me. Because like my understanding of the existence of the demons, because I thought that they exist so the Lord can like have a fight with them and kill them and
yeah, but it's just like
and then the like devotees are like happy and they have this, that's the rasa that they are enjoying, like the victory of Krishna, and sometimes it looks like he won't make it and then he does. And but if he just comes and kills, well, it's Balaram, but same thing. If he just comes and kills him, just...
But who is the audience? See, what you mentioned, the pastimes that you mentioned, who is the audience?
The Brijbasis.
Brijbasis, or if he's in Dwarka, then it's going to be...
The queens.
The queens, the other devotees there, the demigods and all that. So they, you know, all these kind of things very much are attractive to them. Balaram is where when he does this? He's at
amongst the
sages. And so do sages are into that? You understand? They don't really need it so much.
Okay.
You know, if it's there, they don't have a problem. But the point is, if he just unceremoniously kills them, then, you know, Haribol. They're fine.
So they're rejoicing afterwards,
Yeah, no, they're happy that he killed the demon. What I'm saying is, he's not. All I'm pointing out is that him doing all those things is for pastimes. He doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
So we just see here is Balaram does do a very short thing, because also, what does that point out? Because when you drag it out, it looks like they're equal. And when it's just, you know, just so fat, then who's superior here? So they're dealing with him. Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so they're asking a benediction from him as the Supreme Person to do this. So as the Supreme, he just does that. So it's a slightly different flavor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're all fully aware of his supremacy. So
yeah. Yeah, so they're not. It's not a matter of... It's not that they don't appreciate the pastime, because at that particular assembly, where are all these stories told? Right? What stories are being told in that particular assembly?
Actually, I don't know the pastime.
So that's Naimisharanya, that's where the Bhagavatam is spoken.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? Because now what is being spoken there is... means it was spoken to between Sukadeva and Parikshit Maharaj. But then that was documented by Vyasadeva. That was then taught to Ramaharshana, who then taught it to his son. Right? And so when he killed Ramaharshana, then his son, Ugrasrava, then he was put on the Vyasasana. And that's where he spoke Bhagavatam. So the rendition of Bhagavatam that we're reading is what was spoken at that time. So it's not that they don't appreciate all these things, but it's just, you know, it's, this needs to be done and you just do it. You know, it's just like, okay, the sink is plugged up, you just go in there and unplug it. You know, you get your stuff poured in there and sort of like that, pour a bunch of water and like that, and okay, it's done. You know, you don't have to get out the thing, nothing up the sleeves, you know, like that, got your flingy like that. And I'm gonna, you know, do the plungy thing now, and everybody's ooh, and then you plunge, and they're you know, you don't have to do that.
Okay.
You know.
Like that. So he's audience sensitive.
Yes, yeah. That's the Lord, is, yes, it's always about the audience, because it's about the devotee he's interacting with. Right? So in Dorka, then it'll be a whole different thing, but he's out on pilgrimage, so, you know. Means these things will be more clear later. This is a bit early for that, but that's 10th canto. And that's the end of 10th canto. So we'll be more adjusted to that kind of thing. So that will be next year. Yeah.
Upcoming affections.
Yes, upcoming affections. Okay. Okay. So... he seems to undergo hunger and thirst and perspire and become tired, express fear and bewilderment and receive blows in battle. This is because he has unlimited inconceivable energies. Similarly, Vrindavan, like the body of the Lord, which spreads itself through millions of universes, as seen by Brahma, is also unlimited and localized. The Lord says, this Vrindavan spread over five yojana is like my body. And through the scriptures, proclaim.
Though the scriptures proclaim.
Proclaim, okay. Proclaim. This thing is a new thing.
Proclaim.
If you blame someone else, but then you really, you pro-blame them.
You know. You blame them before they've even done it.
Yeah, yeah, you pro-blame them. You know. He's going to blow it, right? I told you. Yeah, so that's pro-blaming. That the moving and non-moving entities of Vrindavan are free from the six material disturbances. One sees to his astonishment that the men, animals, birds, and trees in Vrindavan experience hunger, thirst, birth, old age, want, and disillusion. Sardartha Darshani 10:28-15. So Vrindavan, his dham is unlimited. His associates, all the, but... there's the localized feature, because that's actually the highest form. Because the Brahman, the unlimited aspect of it, that is just a qualities of him. But the point is localized. So it's a matter of him with the devotees, then they manifest and they perform their pastimes. That's the higher principle. consciousness. Mm. So there's a difference, and there's a non-difference, but there's a difference. Okay. Sutra 1.1.16. Netaro nupapattehe. Not itara, the other, upapattehe, because it is illogical. The jiva is not the subject of the mantra because that is impossible by the context. Sutra Prakashika. Baladeva Vidyabhushan poses the following objection, Shamshaya. Though Brahman mentioned in the mantra is different from the jiva, the doubt that the jiva is Brahman is not removed simply by proving that the Lord is Anandamaya. Right, okay, so even you establish he's the Anandamaya, that's what we're talking about, but then with the sutra, you know, you are that, then, okay, I'm that Brahman instead of what I was thinking about is here, you know, so, you know, it doesn't matter, is that if you make Brahman even greater and more special and I'm that, it's, hey, I don't mind, it's a flattering.
Yeah,
you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. From inspecting the mantra, it should be concluded that when the jiva becomes free of ignorance and its effects, the jiva is not different from the Anandamaya Brahman. The Mayavadis, so this would be the Mayavadis, or this is the?
This is Mayavadis.
This is the Mayavadis, okay. So this is the doubt that comes up, okay. The Mayavadis contend that the Supreme Brahman and the jiva are identical. So far, Vyasa's line of reasoning has not addressed this misconception. Sutra 16 thus answers this doubt. It establishes that, although the individual soul is not the Parabrahman described as Satyam Jnanam Anantam, it is still glorious, for the jiva brings the Supreme Lord under its control. Sri Govindabhasya. Siddhanta. The jiva, even in a liberated state, is not the Brahman mentioned in the mantra Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Why? Because it is not possible in the context. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Yoveda Yoveda. That was Vihitam. Vihitam Guhayam Parame Vyoman So Snoshnute Sarman Kaman Saha Brahmana Vipaschita. He who knows that Brahman, who is Satya Jnanam, enjoys all pleasures along with the all-knowing Brahman. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.2. If the jiva enjoys all pleasures with Brahman, he cannot be identical with Brahman. Vipaschita means with that person whose mind sees or experiences various types, vividha, of enjoyment. Pashya, seeing, becomes pash, like Prishodhara. Panini 6.3.109. The jiva enjoys all pleasurable objects along with the Lord, who is skillful at enjoyment. Vipaschita. Right? So this vipaschita is about the Lord. He is expert at enjoying. Because he has all his energies. He knows everything. He's perfect. So the jiva who is absorbed in the Lord, then he one who knows that Lord, he comes to that platform to enjoy those pastimes with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? The verb ash means to enjoy. Instead of the form ashnate, the form ashnute is used in the atmane pada, according to the rule vyatyayo bahulam, Panini 3.1.84, concerning Vedic usage. By mentioning that jiva enjoys along with the Lord, the jiva is given more prominence, though usually prominence is given to the Lord, not to the devotee. Right. So, here is that we see is that the principle is they're giving the trying to give the emphasis to the jiva, not to the Lord, by the Mayavadi's interpretation of the Panchakosha. So we're pointing out, no, it's the Lord, not the jiva. But we see in the final stage, then the prominence is actually the jiva. Right? Once they come to that platform of being on the transcendental position. Means one who knows the Lord in that way, means through the Panchakosha. Then one can be in pastimes with the Lord. Then who's prominent? The jiva. Right? Because for the Lord, it's all about interacting with the devotee. So whatever is his particular consciousness of the devotee, that's then what is it becomes the prominence. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? So it switches there. But the point is if you're always thinking about yourself, then how are you going to get to the transcendental plane? So you get to the transcendental plane by thinking about the Lord, by seeing how the Lord is in everything, how He's everywhere, everything's about the Lord. Seeing that when you're absorbed in the Lord, then the Lord becomes absorbed in the jiva. Is that something like that? That's the point.
Yes? Sanskrit grammar is so important to understand all these points. This last sentence comes out because who's in the position of which karaka?
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord being put as the instrumental here.
Yeah, yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't know it.
You wouldn't know it.
So that's why Prabhupada said of all academic subjects, you know, it means non-transcendental, it means you have the philosophy. But when you drop down into the apara vidya, of all the 13 books, the most important is Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. We somehow or another make it management. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not even proper niti, because all the things in niti, like let's say for niti, one of the points is the prime minister is telling the king, you know, that they're being attacked. And so then they work out a plan. And the king is extremely happy. And then the minister tells the king, well, according to the rule of niti, one should not be happy on making a plan. One should be happy on executing the plan and getting the results. Otherwise, the plan is just, it's not a goal. It's sambandha. Okay, now we know what plan to do. Now we have to go out and execute it. But so the niti says that if you make a plan and at the plan you become so happy that now it's done, it's accomplished, it's like this, then you made the plan the goal. So that's foolish. Because until you perform it, you don't get a result, so how can you rejoice? So if we just have a good meeting, everybody is so satisfied and happy. So what does niti say about that? Right? So, yeah. Okay. Sutra 1.1.17. Oh, no, we didn't do the Bhagavatam reference, right? Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.66. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who see others suffering as their own and are completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. Right? So that's the position, is that even though they attain the Lord, they still control the Lord. That's the position that's being brought out. Right? So as we go through here, now we've gone technically through these points, all these adhikaranas have gone. Is there anything that we've gone through that Prabhupada doesn't talk about? No, it's all standard thing. But we'll just say, oh, well, that's just standard stuff. So we're thinking, oh, this Vedanta Sutra, that's this other, you know, very lofty and technical thing like that. All it is saying the same thing in a technical voice, that's all. But it's whatever Prabhupada said. When Prabhupada says it's all in his books, he means it. You understand? So the point of studying this parallel course to Prabhupada's books is to appreciate that point. So that whatever we see in the Acharya's works, that's already in Prabhupada, but he just says it very simply. Because of that simpleness, how he says it, we take it as ordinary. And because it's difficult, then we'll say, oh, that's just like we were saying. The difference between dragging out the fight with the demon and just immediately killing him, if he immediately kills him, we'll think, oh, it was a small demon, it wasn't a big guy. But then the other one, it takes a long time, they'll think, oh, well, this is a big demon. You understand? So we'll think Vedanta Sutra, oh, this is the big thing. But actually Bhagavatam's the big thing. You know, that's the whole thing. So when we get up to that transcendental platform, things may tend to switch on us. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Kind of like a Brahmavadi or a Mayavadi concept, that they consider the pastimes or those who, you know, bhaktas, like, you know, children, like, oh, they like
yes.
pastimes.
Yes, yes, that's the whole point. Because they think intelligence is what's the cause. That's why it says jnana moya. The basis is intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like that. So each level of consciousness has a basis. Right? So that's intelligence. Mm-hmm. So then they'll think that's the highest. You know, so the more complicated it is, the better. Just like doctors, they'll sit around and talk about some disease, but they use these really fancy words, right? You know, exact details of everything like that. And so because of that, they'll feel themselves superior. And if you ask them to say it in English, they'll say, you have a runny nose. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is that you feel better because you're using bigger words. So that's why the grammarians and these other scholars, they feel better than the common person because they can use big words in these, you know, technical concepts. But that's not the actual point. The point is large people are going by.
They walk very gracefully too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why the movements of like Krishna or the gopis or something are compared to elephants, because it's very powerful, but at the same time it's very graceful.
Very fluid.
Yeah, very fluid like that.
So when the demons are hitting Krishna, it's compared to Brahma hitting his tail.
Yeah, hitting the elephant also. They go by. Catch things. Stuff. Yeah, so that way, so the chaste woman, so it means the focus is there, so the jiva that's fully absorbed in the Lord brings the Lord under control. That's the whole. Yeah? Sutra 1117.
Footnote.
Footnote.
Sorry, before
that. Oh, that is a footnote. Okay.
All right. Hmm? Before that?
Before that, there's a footnote?
No, I don't ask before the footnote.
You have a question before the footnote. So about, you have a question on full control, that part? Or? Yeah, okay.
Krishna in full control. Can we say that there are devotees who have full, Krishna is under their full control outside of Raj?
Yes, means within that context of there, yes, he acts in that way. Because the point is Krishna will always act in that way. How did Krishna act with the queens in Dwarka? He was a henpecked husband. So that's the whole thing. He'll always act within the context of that mood, you know, being fully under control. You know, what matches the mood. So therefore, in Vaikuntha, just his sweetness and his kindness and compassion and all that, that's the symptoms of his control. But it's still, he remains as God, because that's the context. You know what I'm saying? While in Dwarka, it can move in and out of that. It can go have some aspect of sweetness, some aspect of like that. But in Braj, it's just the sweetness. So it's within the pastime they control. So even if they're talking philosophy, they're using philosophy to control it. You know, not to... means they're glorifying, but it's not about glorifying him as God. They're just him as a person, and he has all these qualities, so they appreciate that aspect. So there's no aspect of Paramatma there. But, they can discuss all these others, but it's always in the context of Bhagavan. Okay, footnote 8. Here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the true glory of the devotee. Although minute, he has the capacity to bring the unlimited under his control. I am hard to control, Durvasa, by Brahmavadis like you, Durvasa. But I am controlled by the devotees, since their hearts are fixed in me. They are without material desire, and they see others suffering as their own. Samadarshana. Sardata Darshani. 9466. Yeah, so that's the point. Yeah, so as much as you know, we can gather, then that's what we're trying to put into the commentary, so you can catch the difference in the grammar. Because the grammar being fixed, and because language is to express an idea, and so then to make sure it's exactly expressed, there's grammar, so that it's logically or appropriately presented. So by understanding the grammar, you can actually understand what's being said. Right? That's the whole point of the grammatical discussion. Yes?
It'd be correct to say that control only comes from first understanding mood fully. then the control comes.
You're understanding the mood, but how do you understand the mood?
Through the activity.
And how are you able to do the activity?
Knowledge.
And how do you have that knowledge?
From the shastras, from the sadhus.
But everybody's seeing that. We're all reading the same shastras. Right now we're reading Vedanta Sutra, and the Mayavadis are reading it.
Guru Kripa,
right? And that comes by?
Seva.
Service, right? Mm. So by surrendering to the Lord through the devotees, then we get the understanding by which we can perform the activities that actually place us on that level. Yeah, so it always starts with that surrender to the devotees. That's why the devotees are the most important. Nowadays we try to, you know, equalize everybody, but it's political, it's not a philosophical point. When we say, oh no, but everybody should be equal and all that, nice, but that's pranamoy, that's for economic development, that's not for philosophical understanding. Right?
So simply just misapplication.
It's just misapplication. So the point is Krishna talks about equal, that's why he says samadarshana. That's the point that's being made here. But what's samadarsha? That you see the super soul in everybody. So if you see the super soul, then you're going to deal with them as Krishna says. And so how does Krishna say to deal with them? According to their position. So if we're going to deal with everybody equally, that means we can deal equally. Either we deal with everybody as women or everybody as men. You know, why we would make a distinction. So that means then samadarsha means you deal with everybody accordingly. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So, according to their nature, they get dealt with in that way. That's equal. And you see them all as part and parcel of Krishna. That's why there's a nature. That's why it functions in that way. Because he's the one that makes the law about that. That's samadarshina. This other thing, this is transcendental. This is philosophy. The other one is a political position. Purely political. You know, just like Duryodhana is talking about Dharma and other things for his political motive. He really couldn't care less about Dharma. He just knows that if you use Dharma, you get things done. So that's all. He's just a practical guy. So if by talking Dharma, people will listen, he'll talk it. By not talking it, he won't talk it. It's not that Yudhishthira, he'll talk Dharma whether it's good for him or not. That's someone situated in Dharma. So that's the yeah. Okay. Then Sutra 1. Now we go on. Yeah. Now we're going on.
Yeah.
I have one question, Maharaj. So this arrangement with whom we have, like, some person devotees we have an authority, or the devotees we're supposed to be surrendered to, is this an arrangement based on karma, or just Krishna's will, or how does that work? Like,
well, actually, you see, is that there's this big drum. There's this big drum, and they put all the names in there, and then there's some guys that turn the thing, and then someone else comes and pulls it out and calls them like that, and then you write that down in on your paper, and that when you get them all in a line, then you go bingo.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining the mystical.
Yes, like that. So then that proves it, you know, which of the Abrahamic religions is actually on the top here. You know, because who's running the bingo game? Right?
Another proof,
yes. Another in a long line of proofs. Okay, you understand? So the point is no, it's as you surrender to Krishna, Krishna then gives one faith and all that and that kind of. That makes sense. So it's personal; it naturally develops, but it's based on our surrender to the Lord. That makes sense. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that when we have that interest to surrender to the Lord puts us in contact with devotees, and then that contact with devotees, then according to nature and that, then faith develops. Right. So it's not by the karma; it's just that we particular. A nature has particular qualities, so therefore through those qualities are what we'll appreciate in Krishna consciousness. like that. So that's all. But the qualities are unlimited, and the Vaishnavas are unlimited. So it's a matter of, you know, where it matches, we'll appreciate that aspect, and then from there it builds. So it's nothing to do with karma. Karma never produces bhakti. Does that make sense?
But some people might have a desire to surrender to the Lord, and it takes years.
That because then it generally means that their interest is, you know, there's other things also on the list.
Yeah, but isn't that for most devotees? And then they become purified by the process, and then they come to the.
That's there, but then there is a range of, you know, where they're situated.
Yeah.
So, you know, someone like Madhudwisa, who is walking along with his backpack, sees the Ratha Yatra at this, you know, in Golden Gate Park, says, what's going on here? Goes over, you know, then he comes up to the program next to Subhadra's cart and sees, wow, it's a whole festival. So he throws his backpack on the cart, you know, goes along with the Ratha Yatra, stays for the program. When the devotees pack up, he helps, goes back to the temple with them, and that's it. He's a devotee. So that means there's more agyata sukriti. And someone else who it takes years, then less agyata sukriti.
Yeah, but I'm saying even the first contact, to come to the first contact, it might take them years.
It just depends upon if they want to know the Lord or not. They just want to know something or this or that. So if, you know, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi can answer your questions, then you'll end up there. And if you want to know the absolute truth, then you'll end up with the Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just a matter of how far along, that's what we're saying, how far along one is in the process. But because every jiva has the nature to be able to take that up, therefore by coming in contact, you can take advantage and move very quickly.
Yeah.
But we may also not. So that's the whole thing. Or someone comes in as quickly and then they kind of get tired and want to break. And then, so it's very individual.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no advantage to discussing it other than how is it going to apply in your life? Because the point is in your own life, you're focused, you're serious, you know, vyavasayatmika buddhi, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out. Then you do that, then it'll move quicker. And if we are distracted by other things, it'll move slower. So don't worry about the others, worry about yourself.
Well, I'm asking about myself, but I was wording it in a generic
way. No, that's there. But we're talking about if it take you longer or not, don't worry about how you came. Now, what are you going to do with it once you're here?
Yeah.
That's the point.
I understand it. They might have to have a few more contacts with devotees or things before they build up the security properly, even though the desire is there. But
the desire, yes, but the desire is there, but how much is there? It means for us, it may seem like a big desire, but in comparison, it's not. You know, does that make sense? So the point is the standard is the Lord. And so then when that's there and it's prominent, you know, it's just like now and again when we're alone, then we think of it, but then hours will go by or days will go by until we think of that again. But in our mind, that will be, yeah, I'm always absorbed. You understand? Huh? You don't understand.
No, I understand. It's
the point. No, yes, but the point is you're supposed to take these things and try to apply them. In other words, what you're doing now is what you should be doing within your own head to apply. Well, there's this and there's that, but then this has been said and all that. Don't do it out loud and take us all through your process.
Yeah, that's why I said don't worry.
Yeah, but then it has to be sincere, the don't worry, rather than don't worry because you didn't quite hit the nail on the head and it wasn't exactly what I wanted to hear and it wasn't exactly addressing the whole point. So, yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Because I don't do good with that. You know. So that's why don't use that in this the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the point is take it, try to apply it. Then if you don't get, then you come back and then continue. So it's a matter of asking until you have enough to work with, but don't start working with it just generically there. Is that you understand? That's the point that we're talking about. So if you do that, then it'll work very nicely. Okay, Sutra 1.1.17. Bheda vyapadeshat. Bheda, difference, vyapadeshat, because of the statements. Cha, also. The subject of the mantra is not the jiva because of statements indicating the opposite.
Sutra 16 says, because it's impossible by the context. Mm-hmm. And this one says, because it's indicating the opposite.
Yes, because the context... Yes, yes, because the point is that the the context shows that it doesn't do, and it's actually explaining the opposite. So they're just first pointing out is that by the context it doesn't match. Okay. You know, so in other words, they're saying what you're saying is wrong, because it doesn't match the context. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's saying the opposite.
Okay. So it is referring to... Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.13, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, in this context.
That was before, more talking about, the discussion is about the Anandamaya Purush, the Panchakoshas, that they'll be thinking who's who in this whole equation.
So it's the explanation of the 12 sutra?
Yes, Anandamaya Vyasad. This is all one Adhikarna. Like that. See, the first ones that we open with, I think the first four, one sutra was one Adhikarna. That's why you had such a big, you know, we're thinking, why is this, these are all short, because there's still one Adhikarna. Mm-hmm. But before, they were, the one sutra is one Adhikarna. So here, so many sutras, all their discussions were all in one. Mm-hmm. Like that. But now then we start with the fifth one, then it started going into bigger Adhikarnas, with a few more sutras. So I think the 5th to 11th was one Adhikarna, and now 12th to whatever, 19 and that.
19.
Yeah. Is that? Yeah. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. Mayavadi's attempt to show that the living entity merges back into the Supreme upon liberation. Here, Srila Vyas shows that the Upanishadic passage, like Raso Vaisaha and others, clearly state the opposite. The liberated soul eternally retains its individuality. Govinda Bhashya. Raso Vaisaha Rasam Hyevayam Labdvanandhi Bhavati. The Lord is Rasa, attaining the Lord as Rasa. The jiva becomes blissful. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. Right? So the Lord is rasa, so you attain the Lord as rasa means you're attaining the Lord instead of as the unlimited or as the controller, you're attaining him as rasa.
Bhagavan,
yes. So that, then the jiva becomes blissful. Because in the others, there is a happiness that's there naturally because you're on the liberated platform. But it's not what we'd call the positive happiness. Right, because rasa is positive happiness. Then these others, just by knowledge, one understands the position of the Lord and position of the living entity. That's very good. That sets you on the transcendental platform. And so it has a happiness, but that's just this neutral happiness of just existence. In other words, the Lord's existence, there's a happiness there. That's the Atmarama. He is happiness. So therefore, the Atmarama position will generate a happiness. But it's not a positive happiness, it's just the existent happiness. So when you dynamically interact with the Lord, that's when real rasa is. That's when actual happiness is there, when there's rasa. Does that make sense? Yes.
So what is our actual reference point? Is our reference point from the Brahman position, or is our reference point from the rasa?
It depends upon where you're at.
Okay. But like from the absolute... position.
The point is we're part and parcel of Krishna. We're his servants. Right? So, in that way, qualitatively, we're non-different from Krishna. But how we see our relationship with Krishna is how Krishna interacts with us. So we see Krishna simply as the cause and effects of the secondary, the manifestation, the secondary manifestation of his energies. Then we're on the material platform, and so we're interacting with Krishna as all the things within this world, because it's all Krishna. Our attraction to it, the ability to use it, the effects that it gains, that's all Krishna. But we don't see it as Krishna. We just see it as you know, something to enjoy. So then when we start seeing, no, it's all Krishna in actuality, then we start seeing how he's pervading everything. We start appreciating the Brahman and Paramatma platform. And by that platform and the association of the devotees, then we're going to come to the platform of Bhagavan. Does that make sense? Yes.
I was thinking that on the Brahman platform, there's a sat, you know, manifestation of bliss.
Yes.
And on Bhagavan, it is there, it's obvious.
Right.
But on the Paramatma level, what then happens with those who are trying to see the Paramatma?
Generally, the Paramatma level, because it's localized, means you're talking about the generic qualities of a person. So you either take it forward to Bhagavan or you'll take it back to Brahman.
So it's in between states.
It's in between. So it's just, you could say, the personalized aspect of the function of Brahman. Right? But then the point is then are you going to surrender to that person? If so, you move forward to Bhagavan. If you just appreciate the greatness, then it moves back to Brahman. That makes sense. So that's why the yogis, when they see Paramatma, they can either take up devotional service or they merge into the Lord. You know, it doesn't stay in that position because you have to do something. So it's either you do nothing, Brahman, or do something, Bhagavan. Is that? Yeah. Okay.
Brahman is, everything is Brahman.
Yes.
And the Lord, as Bhagavan, is also everywhere, all-pervading. Paramatma only manifests in the material world?
Yes. Because why do you need Paramatma in the spiritual world? Even the Brahman understanding is not there. So the Brahman and Paramatma understandings are not there in the spiritual world. They're concepts of the material world. They're not material concepts. But it's a kind of difficult thing to deal with. It mentions this in the second canto. Remember one time there was a class at the festival, and so this point came up, but, you know, Prabhupada says it's a material concept. So then they're thinking that Brahman and Paramatma are material concepts. No, that you would see the Lord in these two positions, you would only see from the material platform. Otherwise, they're non-different. So you wouldn't have that. So it's not that it can't be discussed, it's just only those who are here discuss like that. Those who are there don't discuss like
just
that. Just Bhagavan.
Thank you very much.
So if they're referencing this, they're referencing his pastimes in that here. Because they'll talk about, when they say how he pervades everything, they'll talk about in the material world. They don't say in the spiritual world. Okay. So it's not that they don't know it, but it's always reference to the what do you call it? The Mahatattva. Right? So the Paravyoma, they don't discuss it in that connection.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
So when Krishna tells the gopis that I'm all pervading and I'm feeling worried that I'm not here personally, so that's a concept from the material world, from Bhagavad Gita.
It's the Brahman realization, because they're here, but at the same time as they see Krishna in everything like that, but you don't think of it as Brahman realization, because they're seeing Krishna in everything. Because actually, it is Krishna who's in everything, right? So that's the non-difference. Like, we're generally, when we say Brahman and Bhagavan, we're making a distinction between the three. But actually, in the spiritual, they don't make a distinction. So they're all features of the person. The person is all pervading. The person is all that. So, yeah. So that aspect is it's just the mood of approaching it. So, because they'll see everything, so everything will remind them of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's, his potency is in everything. So being non-different, therefore. You know, it's just like, in one sense you can say, blackishness is not him, but at the same time it is. So anything black will remind you of Krishna. But it's not that the tamal tree is Krishna, and then they just sit down there and feed the tree lunch or something. You know, saying that's the difference. That's where then we see the Mayavadis, then they put in, you know, Ram Krishna's running after the dog, you know, no, here, take some ghee on your chapati and stuff like that. It's the potency is there, but the form is his energies. Yes, it all just reminds them and relates to there. Because he always says, even Braj, they always say how he's in everybody's heart and all that, but how is he in their heart? As Paramatma, as Bhagavan. So he's in our heart because he's sitting there because we're not about to remember him. But he's sitting in all their heart because they're always remembering him. So it's a difference. So Bhagavan is sitting there. Right? That's the one of the songs of the Acharyas and the line of the song about that the spirit, the great Vaishnava can give you Krishna because Krishna is sitting in his heart. You know, like Govinda Bishram. He's resting in your heart. To Govinda, not Paramatma. So it's Paramatma because he's Bhagavan, but because we don't deal with him as Bhagavan, therefore we deal as Paramatma, so we make that distinction. So there's the personal and the impersonal. And if we apply the impersonal to somewhat to the... we apply the personal somewhat to the impersonal, or the impersonal somewhat to the personal, we get Paramatma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes.
Sometimes I think of as Paramatma is kind of like Big Brother.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on everything.
Yeah, like that. That's not, he does, but he doesn't have any ulterior motives, so you will not end up with a face full of rats. Yes. Yes.
So does the same principle applies to the residents of Vrindavan, that they're like one entity, they don't, it's not, you know, their personality is their body and everything.
Yes, because the soul expands to that form. So in the spiritual world, there's a non-difference between the form and that. The difference is when Krishna comes here, he's still like that. When we come here, we're not like that.
Yeah.
So even the great personalities, I mean, someone like Narad Muni, he's there in his spiritual form. So that'll be a non-difference. But then others, then there is a difference between them and the body that's there, because they take the form within the material energy. You know, so it's you know, that's just the standard, because then that's where you fit in. You know, if the eyes that fit in, you have a body, you already fit in enough. Right? You know, that's so. Yeah. Okay. So, and here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Rama. Oh, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanati.